why I'm starting it now. It's a little late. Well, I'm sorry. There's folks listening to this right now that I had a technical difficulty on the recording. I forgot to push the button. So I'm terribly sorry. I apologize for that. Maybe I'll try to recap in another recording and get it up on the website for you. But you'll hear a couple questions anyway, and I apologize for that for all of you that are listening to this recording. And don't yell at me because Pat's going to give me a really hard time. So let me just take it from Pat and leave, so you can leave me alone. All right, let me go take a few calls. Let's see. I always forget how to do that. It's up here somewhere. Let's see. Oops. Uh-oh. Yeah, I hate to do it the hard way here. Yeah, okay. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. It's probably okay. Well, this is going to be a little bit more difficult for me, but we can because I won't have a cue. So it's a little bit harder. But you can star six and ask me a question. I guess I'll hear you on when you do that. So somebody's on. Go ahead.
Yes.
Hey, Dan.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
That's why it's not a good thing. Yes.
Oh, great. I have Kinder Morgan, and I know this is just...
Okay, I just figured it out. Now, what happened? So, okay, let's try it again to ask a question. And it should go in the queue now. There you go. Good. Okay, now we're good. Okay, so go ahead.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Who's
this? This is John in Texas.
Hey, John, how are you? Oh, I recognize your voice. Hi, John.
I'm great. I'm good. Excited about what you shared today. I'm going to be in that 2% that's jumping up and down excited. All
good,
this
good.
Asset allocation model, that is so needed. And when you shared it, I thought, man, you got to charge us more now. I mean, that's a great service. $85
well, be,
sure isn't enough.
It's going to be good, I know, and I know. I'm glad you're going to use it, John. That's great.
Yes, yes, I am. I'm a pastor, and I'm doing a financial series this month. And guess what? My first message that I preached the first Sunday was your greatest financial asset. And I got it straight from you. And the ability to earn income. And we talked about that. And last Sunday, I quoted from Fear of Money and gave you credit and gave a quote in that sermon. So you're having an impact
great.
Down here in Texas, brother.
Man, that is awesome, John. Thank you.
Well, thank you, brother. You have really impacted my life and those around me, and I
That's
appreciate
great.
You so much. I had a question that I hope would be edifying for everyone, and it has to do with I've talked to some attorneys here in our town. They're elder care type attorneys.
Sure.
And they said that if someone wanted to give more than the $14,000 that's allowed, that they could do that like a credit against the max of the estate tax, and that there was a form, I think it was 706 or 709, you filed with the IRS, and it was kind of would go against the total amount on that estate. Are you familiar with anything like that?
Oh, yeah. It's been around a very long time. I think since 1992, I want to say. So, and so you can do that. You can give what it, you could give somebody $1 million, and it would go against the credit that you get as an individual on your estate for federal estate tax. It would go against that. And there is a form. You file that form and say that you did that, and that's all you need to do. Now, the only problem with that, so certainly you could do it now, file that form for this the tax year. What I really, I don't know what's going to happen if the estate tax someday goes away. Now, it doesn't look like in the tax bill that it's going to go away. Remember, they originally said no estate tax.
Right.
Then the House bill raised it up to $10 million.
Yes.
So I don't know what the Senate's going to do, whether they're going to keep that or not, or lower it back down. So let's just say it stays at $10 million. So you get not you. You don't care. You're going to be in glory. You won't care about any of this. But you're going to get a your estate has a credit. So basically, it says that you don't your estate will not have to pay any tax on your estate under $10 million.
Correct.
So now let's say though you've already gifted $1 million. They only get a $9 million credit now.
Correct.
If you've already given away $1 million. So that's how it works. It's been around a long time. It got used an awful lot. The problem with it was very limited. It was $425,000 when it – the credit was only $425,000 when it first came into law. But, yeah, that's what it – that's how it works. And you can always do that. Absolutely. What the only thing I'd caution you on, John, and what you'll find out is a lot of times your accountant might not know what form it is and how to do that. But so you might have to coach them a little bit. But yeah,
well, the lawyers said it was kind of a call-in program, and I called and asked them that, and they went on to say that they don't even see people doing the paperwork. They said because the penalty on it, there's really not a penalty, and if the IRS fines you, it would be nothing against nothing. So I would think to be safe, you would want to go ahead and file that form. But I was just wondering.
I'm not sure, because if you didn't file the form, I don't know if you'd have proof. That your estate wouldn't have proof. I guess that's what they're saying, that they would know that you don't have the whole tax credit, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I just knew that people had called in before wanting to give money to their children and whatever, you know, and there was always that $14,000 limit, but I thought, well, this is a way they could give more if they would like to.
Yep, so they can, yep.
I've always wanted to ask you that, so I got to.
Yeah.
Thank you for
great question.
Call.
Thank you, John. Thank you for
others.
Your encouragement. Thank you
I
for your encouragement.
You.
Sure do appreciate it.
Have
thank
a great
you.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Let me go see who's next here. Yes.
Hey, Dan, this is Vicente from California.
Yeah, how are you, Vincent?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good.
Yeah, I just first things, I just wanted to ask, thank you for your ministry and for the service that you offer to the public and to your partners.
Thank you.
I had two questions. The first one was about a stock, Westmoreland, and the other question was, how do you see coal going in the future with the United States leaning towards clean energy?
Yeah, I think coal is strictly going to be an export business. So I think coal is, and that would go for the Westmoreland, obviously, that stock. I mean, I think they've got, they have got to become almost 100% export-driven commodity. They are doing that. They just hit a record about last month. They just hit a record on how much coal they're exporting so far this year. So, you know, they're moving in that direction, but that's the only thing that's going to help coal survive in all likelihood. So there's certainly a market for it, and I think they will do that. The only thing that could hurt it is if we get another liberal administration in, then they're going to shut it down. They're never going to let it happen, even the exporting, because they're not going to let them export it, and that's the danger. So I basically would stay away from coal as an investment. Yeah.
Appreciate the answer, Dan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Vincent. Yes.
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Dan, this is Vince calling from Texas, and
Hi,
I want to thank you for taking the time to go ahead and talk to us here. First, and really what others have already talked about, and I hear it over the radio from time to time, but especially during Thanksgiving, wanted to basically tell you how grateful, I'm sure I speak for many, how grateful we all are for the service that you have rendered to us. What you've done basically is to take what is for most of us an arcane kind of a science, and you are methodically bringing it down to the common man, for which we are all very grateful. So I just wanted to say that up front, and hope that you can take that to heart and understand that your efforts are not for naught. Quite frankly, I don't understand how you do it. It doesn't seem like in the time that we've been allotted on a 24-hour clock, I have no clue how you fit it all in. But you apparently do, and you're still running with it.
Thank you, Vince. That's a blessing and encouragement to me, and I appreciate those words so much. And I do it by the grace of God, because I really honestly can't say I know how I do it either. I mean, I literally, some mornings, this morning was one of those mornings, that I pray that he would extend my hour. I'm not sure how he does that, but all of a sudden I get done a lot of things and I realize, wow, only a half hour has gone by. But it's only by the grace of God and the fact that I don't need a lot of sleep either. So that helps.
Gotcha. Listen, the only comment that I want to make, and it's not a question, but just a comment, mm-hmm. with regards to your concerns about what you've been talking about here over the last couple of days, is it really such a great deal if unemployment goes down to below 4%, and what will that mean if we don't have the folks to do that? I understand that the immigration question is going to be front and center if this, in fact, comes about. And I have been reading a piece of work by a gentleman by the name of Douglas Murray, and it's called The Strange Death of Europe. And it has to do with how Europe experienced the debacle that has become multiculturalism as a result of unrestrained, and really they didn't know how to deal with immigration that eventually came in waves. So I wanted to just throw out that it is a cautionary message, I think, to America that he is sending. He himself, not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination, but he is definitely calling an ace and a spade as he goes through this work. And I recommend it to you. And as you go ahead and start to formulate your own ideas as to how if a workforce, an increased workforce was necessary, what kind of immigration policy would be appropriate for that kind of need?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I wrote that down, Douglas Murray. Thank you. It is a real concern of mine. And as you could tell yesterday, you know, we talk about how great it was. And I saw the tweet from Donald Trump saying that, you know, that we could be 3.9 next year. And I just thought, you know, this is not a good thing. If this is a real number, this is not a good thing because it's going to be, catastrophe. I'm glad that you told me about this book, but I'm very disappointed that I'm the only one talking about it. You know, I watch and I listen, I read, I don't want to say I read, but I scan about 7 newspapers every day. I start in Europe and Asia and move through here in the morning early. And I'm just amazed that nobody is talking about this. And I know I'm not that smart, so I got to believe that, are they ignoring it? I mean, that's what I think. Is everybody just ignoring it, thinking it's going to go away? Or maybe they have blinders on and they just haven't seen it, or maybe God has revealed something to me. But I just, I'm concerned. I'm real concerned about that. And so I appreciate you saying that. It is a real question. Of course, my hope is, as I said today, my hope is that I was right, that I've been right all along and none of these numbers are real, meaning the unemployment numbers and the labor participation, that we really have 8.5-9% unemployment. And all of this unemployment now is the BLS not knowing what to do. So they just left it alone after they cooked the books for so long. And now that's our yardstick since Trump's been in, and where everything's coming down from that, but it's not accurate. And that's the only thing we can hope for, that is the case. And I hope it is. If not, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Well, once again, thank you for everything. I'd be really interested, after you've read the book, as to some of your comments on that, particularly as it applies to what we're going to need in terms of policy. But have yourself a great Thanksgiving, and for all of our sakes, take some time off.
I'm going to try to relax and do nothing. Thanks, man.
All right.
Hope the weather's good so I can get up on my therapist and go riding through the woods. So thank you for that. Oh, wait a minute. I lost my page here. My conference. There you go. All right. Let's see. Yes.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hey, Dan. This is Brad calling from Arkansas.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, great conference call. Thank you for all you do, and I'll just echo what a lot of people already shared with you and most recently, Vince. Just thank you for the incredible blessing. I've been a member or a partner for the last 2.5 years. And it's such a great, I guess, avenue to keep everyone in check. When you have other advisors looking after your assets, and it's nice to have your perspective. And you are such a blessing and an encouragement for all of us. So we really thank you for the service that you provide. God's really gifted you, my friend, and we appreciate you sharing your giftings with all of us.
Thank you, Brad. That means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick question, and thank you for going through the portfolio management tool that's coming up here soon. I will be in that minority of people, I think, that'll use it. I think there might be even more once people use it. And thank you for that. I try to capture a lot of different investments in an Excel template right now, and it gets very cumbersome. So I'm really looking forward to putting this information into the website. Just a question for those of us that have, I guess, employers and mutual funds that are outside of those that are on your list.
Yes.
You have different sectors. You have large cap, mid cap, small cap, in different sectors, energy, materials. If you know, different sectors of these investments, will there be a way we can appropriately label these investments that are outside of what you have on your website?
Yeah, that's a big issue.
Yeah, because a lot of those mutual funds have a lot of different. They're spread over so many different areas, and just to get it, appropriately labeled, so we can see whether or not we're over or under your asset allocation models for our age group.
Yeah, so unfortunately, not because of something that we couldn't do with the model, it's It's the fact that mutual funds were designed originally and are still designed this way, that they try to be broad based. Now, most mutual funds, if you look on the third page of the prospectus, you see a paragraph that says goals and objectives. Sometimes it's the second page, where it's goals and objectives. So the goals and objectives may be a little bit different, you know, large cap, domestic companies, or, you know, they have a little bit of parameters there. But unfortunately, it's across all sectors. They're all across all sectors. That was the primary goal of mutual funds, and it still is today. So it is the downside to it is that there's so much duplication in mutual funds. I see people's 401ks and they have a BlackRock large cap growth fund, they have a Vanguard growth fund, they have an S&P fund. Well, they all have the same stocks in them. You know, they all have the same stocks. So you don't need to do that. You only need to have one to pick one. You know, they're all the same. They have the exact same stocks, and they're going to react the same, very similar, in the same kind of economic environment. And so there is no way. The only thing that we can do, of course, is if you have a sector fund, which you would do. So you would put in your XYZ AB fund and in there, and you know that that's an energy sector fund that they offer, and then on that, in this portfolio, you would click energy, you know, as the part of the sector that applies to. For those other mutual funds, unfortunately, you're just going to click mutual fund, and it's not going to give us a sense of where you're overweighted, and there isn't anything that we can do. I've given that so many thought, not because of this, but I've given that so much thought over the years, of how to do that. Now, ETFs are far more sector driven. You know, that's part of the things that they do. So if you have ETFs, chances are you can look at your ETF and say, hey, you know, everything in here is in commodities or whatever, you know, it's a little bit easier, but mutual funds is very, very hard to do. And I got to be honest with you, I don't see us being able to do that, unfortunately. So that's going to be one of those things that you're just going to have to chalk up your 401k almost, which I don't like to do, but chalk it up as a whole separate account. That's just, well, what is it? It's my 401k. I don't know. All I can tell you, it's all equities. You know, it's all stocks, so it's very aggressive. Or I got a lot of small caps, so it's even more aggressive. Or emerging markets. I mean, you can get some things from it. You just can't. It's really hard to pick that sector.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Right. And there's things on your list that have an institutional or another form that they apply in Vanguard. So, and there's a couple of things I can just, you know, closely replicate when I load that information in there.
Oh,
so
good.
Thank you
good.
So much.
Okay, good. Thanks, Brad. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Sure do appreciate it. All right. Yes. Should have another caller. No? Okay, let me press this again. Yes, somebody there?
Hi, Dan. This is Glenn from New York.
Hi, Glenn.
God bless you, and thank you very much for everything you do.
Thanks.
A new member. I actually drove from New York out to Columbus to hear you speak a couple weeks ago.
Oh, well, holy mackerel. That was, nobody should drive that far to come hear me say anything.
So no, it was absolutely worth it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
So we are new members, and job one for us was to get biblically correct. So we went to cash, and at this point, you know, after some of the things you said on your commentary on the buy list over the last couple weeks, kind of sat back and have not done anything. I noticed the buy list commentary is a little different this week. Is this the time to maybe start dividing things into sixths and filling out our asset allocation models?
How are you retired, Glenn, or are you still working?
I'm retired law enforcement, so
okay.
We have no debt, and we're able to do just fine on the pensions that we receive.
Oh, that's great. Glenn, I wouldn't yet. Let's wait a few more weeks. I'm glad you did what you did. That's great. So now you're ready to get going and get started. So that's really good. But I would feel better, and I'm not saying that because of a necessarily a prolonged downturn or a prolonged uptick or anything like that. I just want to see some dust settle right now in and around some of the uncertainty that's out there, that I think it's, you know, we're going to see some of it settle. Now, it may settle in a negative way or settle in an okay way. But, you know, at this point, we're only talking, I don't know, less than six more weeks at the beginning of the year. Maybe in a few weeks you can start, but I would hold off a little bit.
All right.
All right, and keep watching the commentary, and you'll get an idea when to go.
Thank you very much. I'm New York, but we're country here. We don't get you on the radio. The only place I get you is maybe an hour a day on NRB if the TV satellite isn't acting up.
What part of New York are you in?
Upstate New York.
What's
we're
your name?
In the Finger Lakes region.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I spent a lot of time up there. You know, back when I had my trust company, I had a slew of clients from Elmira to Syracuse, you know, that whole area up there. I went a little west of Elmira, but and then north up to the border.
Beautiful.
And,
I grew up in Elmira. I was there yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. And this time of year, not this time of year, it's a little late, but I can remember. I used to drive up there all the time, and I remember just the if you want to see, if anybody's listening and you want to see the majesty of God in the fall, get in your car and drive up the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Northeast Extension, all the way up to New York, man, it is magnificent. To Binghamton and beyond, man, it is gorgeous. It is such a gorgeous area. So, yeah, good stuff. That's a great place to live. Thank you, Glenn. I sure appreciate your service to your community, and I know your community does, man. What a blessing. I'm glad you're safe, and you're probably glad you're out of it right now and the way things are going. But
yes, I am.
We sure appreciate it. Yeah, I bet you are. All right, Glenn. Thank you. Yes. Is somebody there? Going once.
Yes. Hi, Dan. This is Judy.
Oh.
I'm a brand new member, partner in Tampa.
And oh, wow.
I've been managing my own portfolio for about 8 years, and God led me to you last week right at the perfect time. So first, thank you very much.
Oh, that's great.
And my question is kind of about market timing. I heard you speak about valuations and uncertainties, but why are you so certain that we're going to have a correction in the very near future in 2 months or less?
Well, I'm not certain, but I think there's a good I think there's a likelihood that in the near future, if we see some of this uncertainty play out to be a little bit more uncertainty, if we don't get tax reform this year, it's going to be very difficult to get an election year next year. Even if we get it and it takes until March to get it, the markets aren't going to believe. They're not going to have any faith. They're not going to believe it's coming. So that's one thing alone. It's going to push back. It's going to push back infrastructure bill that is desperately needed. It's going to push that back to the back burner. And just all of that along, I haven't talked about this much lately. I usually talk about this much more, and I haven't. But what's going on right now in Europe is very, very scary. There's a lot going on in Europe that's very, very scary. That is going to impact us. So I'm saying that since I am 55, where I am now today, I'm 55% feeling like the tax bills are not going to get done. And when I talk to the people that I know in D.C., I worked in D.C. for a long time. I managed 23 senators at one time in D.C. I was the only guy outside the Beltway working inside the Beltway during the 80s. And you get to know a lot of people, and the staffers end up moving from person to person. You stick with them, and you get friends, and you get to talk to a lot of people, and you get to build a lot of trust. And they're all holding their breath. They're holding their breath every bit as much as I am. You know, I know what they say publicly, but
are you saying that international investing isn't the answer either? That the whole
world feels
as bad as it feels right now?
Yeah, no, I don't think international investing is. Listen, when you look at Timothy and you look at emerging markets, international stocks, Israel Fund, they've done unbelievably well.
Yes.
But at the same time, there are some structural walls. Problems. They're not political. There's lots of political issues, because the political issues could fix some of the structural issues. But if I'm worried about the banks in Germany and Italy, that is a huge. So that's the number one and number three economy in the Eurozone. A lot of concern there. Mario Draghi saying more stimulus, more stimulus, more stimulus, as he said this morning. So I'm concerned. There's a lot of things going on over there. But right here, I also said, though, I think, you know, I feel like we could have a pullback. If you're in it for the long term, I don't care.
Right.
Because unless something happens to the Trump administration in general, and they don't get it, they don't make 4 years, which I don't think ever is going to happen, but it would take something really major for us not to bounce back fairly quick.
And do you think the central banks would just rush to the rescue like they always do? And
no.
No. Oh.
No, I do not. Nope, I don't. Not under Jay, the guy that's coming in as a federal chairman, no. I don't think, although he is a little more dovish, more apt to do that than I would like, but nonetheless, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think that because I think everybody's going to see it like I see it, which is it's not going to last that long. You know, it's not going to be – I don't think I finished my thoughts in the very beginning of the conference call where I said this isn't the Obama administration, meaning this isn't a situation where in the Obama administration, if we had another market downturn, we would have been doomed.
Yeah.
Literally. We would have been done. There would have not been a recovery from that without major structural changes or depression. There wouldn't have been, because we were so, so deep, no hope. It was horrible where we were. And
that was
the Clinton
goal, so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it was very close. And if the administration changed to the Clinton administration, I still would have been just as worried. But I don't feel that way now, because I think we have the economist around this president that I think will be all right. I don't think it's going to be long lived. But I do think that there is a higher chance of it happening right now. I'll tell you another thought that I didn't finish, and I know there's a lot of people that had to drop off. We still have a few hundred on here. But let me just say, I didn't get into the energy sector. I'm concerned about the energy sector. I've never been. I've been pretty much an energy hawk for a long time. I think we are going to see a resurgence in energy, because I think demand is going to pick up dramatically. But I don't think it's going to be long-lived. I think it's going to live long enough for a lot of people to get out. There's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, no, this is going to go for 40 years and stay in. And they may be right. But I do think it's going to be short-lived.
I have some time to recoup some losses before I get out.
Oh, yeah, you'll recoup some losses.
Okay.
If you have losses in the energy sector –
yeah,
you're gonna recoup. You're gonna recoup those. Oil's gonna recoup first, then not gas. Nat gas is going to come lag fairly far behind. But I think demand is going to get to where it's going to recover. I just don't think it's going to be what I used to say, which is, so I'm a rare economist in the sense from all the economists I know, in the sense that I don't die by what I say. So I say something when circumstances change, I change what I say. I'm trying to help people, and I've done very well helping back when I had my trust company, helping our clients and our staff do the right thing. So I used to say, we're going to have green energy, but it's going to be 40 years on the back of fossil fuel, mm-hmm. whether anybody likes it or not.
Sure.
I don't think so. Fossil fuel is, what is happening with the auto industry right now in China is, I think China is probably going to rule for a little while, the electric car and all those kinds of things.
Yes.
And we're going to have such a glut of oil. It's going to be so cheap that, but nobody cares about cheap now. See, it used to be, let's get oil cheap. If we get oil cheap, it disincentivizes the green energy people because oil's too cheap. It's not worth doing all the R&D and all the work. It's not like that anymore. Green energy has become a religion. You know, there isn't any, hey, listen, it's not about economics. It's not, why would I spend all this time developing an electric car when oil's $30 a barrel? It doesn't make economic sense. They don't care about that anymore. And that's kind of what's changed my viewpoint on energy. It is going to recover. It is going to be fine. Everybody's going to get back and then some. I think everybody's going to do fine, but I don't think it's going to go 40 years.
Well, I cannot thank you enough. You are such a blessing. And you and your family, please, and your staff, enjoy a fabulous Thanksgiving.
We will. Thank you, Judy. And I'm so excited about Tampa because we haven't been on there very long.
I know. And that's why I was letting you. Oh.
And I got to tell you, when they came to us to go on, I said, no way, please don't even talk to me about it. It's not going to be good for us because it's an AM frequency. I'm on hardly no AM stations.
Oh, and that's where all our financial shows are, though.
How about that? And they said, look, give us a chance. So they talked me into it, and I'm glad to hear from Tampa. So thank you. That's great.
Fabulous. Well, you take care.
Yep.
Thanks again. So
all right, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna take two more. Yes.
Hey, Dan, this is Bill from Georgia. I appreciate
Bill.
Your ministry, I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. You had mentioned in one of your shows about REITs, and I've been buying them as they appear on your buy list. I recently did a rollover, and most of the money's sitting in the settlement fund, but can we add to existing positions in REITs, or is there something maybe we should just wait and see?
So are you in it for income, I assume, Bill?
Yes, I'm in it for income. In fact, is it's funding the other, the income is so well, doing so well, it's funding, it's taking me several years to fill out the asset allocation model, and I think this portfolio management software is going to be a real blessing for me.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, I am a little cautious about REITs because I think they got overbought.
Okay.
And then I think that some of the REIT managers got overextended. Right now, as we speak, I'm looking wrong about that in the sense that they're still going well. If you have a multifamily REITs, any multifamily REITs, I would probably not add to those because they're my least favorite right now. But, you know, they seem to be hanging in there. And the bigger ones, the large cap REITs, you know, I would be okay with. But listen, I drive around. I live in southeastern Pennsylvania, outside of about 50 miles outside of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir. I used to live in Westchester. I'm familiar with.
Oh, you know where I am. Okay. So I'm seeing malls close, thrift centers close, new outdoor kinds of things being built, but there's an awful lot closing, and if they don't get some of this, you know, rebuilt, then I would be concerned. But, you know, it's all going to be about the economy, and hopefully you don't care. You shouldn't care. That's why I asked you if you were the income. You shouldn't care so much about how the REIT is doing from a value perspective, as long as they continue to pay that dividend. That gives you the time to wait it out and just hang in there. You know, you just don't want to be in any of the real small cap ones. I would stay away from them.
Okay, well, I'm in Apple Hospitality and then the George Company.
Okay, well, they're good ones.
And if
the economy really takes off, Apple will do well, and I think they're fine.
Okay,
I would look. Do you have some preferreds?
Yes, sir. I've got Federal Agricultural Management. I've had it for several years now, and it seems to be a perpetual. I keep thinking it's going to be called.
Yeah, they're a good one. They're really a good one. I wish they would put out some others, but yeah, that's good. I mean, keep up with some of the preferreds as well, because I want you to be diversified. Don't all be in, you know, don't get all your income from REITs. Look at the utilities
and
the preferreds.
I was kind of overweighted in Valero, and it went up to 81. I bought it in at about 53 to 56. And I went ahead and just sold the profit, and I've bought into ADM. I've noticed they're down too. I like to go ahead and fill that asset allocation out as well. I'm hoping they'll do a stock split again.
Yeah, hopefully they will. They traditionally do, and I suspect they will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. Good.
Okay.
All right,
well,
thank you.
Your investing strategy has been God's blessing to me and my family, and I do appreciate it.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Bill. I sure appreciate you saying that.
Okay.
Have a blessed
thank
Thanksgiving.
You very much.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Okay. Last call. Yes.
Yes, I'm Myra from California. I have a quick question.
Hi, Myra.
Hi, I just so appreciate your program. I only get 1 hour on NRB. I've had Kinder Morgan for a few years now, and I bought it at $44. It's now around $17. So obviously I've lost about 58%. Do you have any perspective on Kinder Morgan and Enbridge, those two?
Yeah, I think Kinder, who's the other one?
Enbridge. I had Spectra, and then Enbridge bought.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Kinder Morgan, you got to keep it. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's a shame because they started the year really strong. You know, they were, they started the year strong, and then come April, they started to drop off again. But, you know, I believe it or not, I mean, it may take some time. How long have you had it? 2 years, you said?
I've had it almost three.
3 years, yeah.
15.
You know what? I think if you bought that to 8 to 10, you'll be. I think you'll be okay on it. At least, I don't think there's any threat that they're going to cut the dividend.
Well,
so
it was really high, and they've cut it down.
Yes.
And since I bought it so high, you know, in March of 15. It was around in the 40s. So we've lost 58%, and now the dividend is so low, and we bought it for the dividend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the dividend is, I don't know what it is because I'm, you know, but it's still 3%, isn't it? Close to 3% a year?
No, for me, at the price that I bought it, it's like almost nothing. I think it's 40 cents a share or 50 cents a share per year is all.
Yeah, okay, it's 12.
Yeah.
I think, here's what I think. There are things out there that could come up faster than Kinder Morgan.
Okay.
So when you think about a shift, so you think about moving, let's say you have $50,000 in. I don't know how much you have in it, but say you have $50,000. And, or say you put $50,000 and you have $25,000 in it. Are there things out there that are down as well, like Kinder Morgan is, that is going to recover faster? So you take that $25,000, move it over
right.
to something else that's down to ride it back up?
Right.
Yes. Yes, there are. And there are even in the energy sector. There are. So certainly if you look at, and that's, you know, that's the one upside of doing that is that you would get the full advantage or more so than full advantage of the dividend.
Of the new dividend on the new.
Of the new dividend.
Right.
Yeah. Of the new dividend. So
plus
that would be.
Capital loss. I can take the capital loss, which will.
Oh, it's okay.
I've been taking profits. So we're up profits. We have a good amount of profits because I've been following we've bought some of your buys. We've done really good. I did really well on Valero. I've done really good on Marathon. And so we'll have to pay taxes on these capital gains. And so in order to balance those out, I could sell this at a loss, and it would help us tax-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I would sell it and move it.
But what if you, I move it to?
So the only concern that I would have is, you know, moving. If you're in it for dividend,
yes,
then you'd be safer moving it for the dividend. So that would mean you're moving to something like, you know, a utility that
we're doing that.
How much, what utilities do you have?
Oh, I have a few now that you've had on your buy list.
Okay.
I can't remember all the symbols, but kind of diversified, probably have bought 4 or 5 within the last few months. And
oh,
they're
that's
paid
good.
Anywhere from 4.8% all the way to like 10%.
Yeah. So I would probably pick a PP&L, get into something, you know, that's really solid.
Okay.
Like PP&L, which is paying about 4.5% right now. I'm trying to think. Maybe Dominion, which is that's not paying that much. It's only paying 3%.
Right.
But, you know, I'm thinking of larger companies.
AES.
But
we bought AES and NYDL, I think it is, / A.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
one pays really a good dividend.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing, but you've got to think a little bit about the value. AES is paying over 4%, isn't it?
I believe
it is. Yeah. So AES would be a good one to add to.
Okay.
Add to AES and add PP&L.
Uh huh.
And especially if you don't have PPNL. I think PPNL, that's one of my personal largest positions. But if I think PPNL is on its way down. I think it's hit its high for the year. It's up 6% on the year, but I think it's hit its high. I think it's going to go down yet. And utilities always do at the end of the year. But I really like the value. You know, it's a great value, and it's a, you know, that's what I would do.
Would
I think
you wait
that would be
until after January then to buy the utilities?
AES. I would buy that. I wouldn't try to time. You know what? I would just buy it.
Okay.
I would just buy it here. I mean, because PPNL, it's gonna go back and forth a little bit. But when I say it's trading, and when you look at the trading range for a year, it's not a very much of a range.
I mean,
it's, you know, it stays pretty tight, and I don't see any reason for it not to now. And if you look at a stock, the thing I like about this utility, if you look at it over 5 years, the stock itself is up 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, utilities don't move that much. So this is a good company. I would do it now.
Okay. How about Enbridge? What's going on with that?
Yeah. I got to think of the symbol, Enbridge. That's
ENB. It was Spectra, and you had it.
Yeah.
Your list, and then it isn't on your broad list anymore.
Right. So, yeah, I think that, they're going to struggle a little bit because of the merger. They pay a good dividend.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're, that's over 5%.
Yes.
Yeah, I would hang in there with it, but I wouldn't add to it.
No. I sold half of it at a profit, but now it...
Oh, good.
I wouldn't be getting any profit now, but it is paying well. Yeah. So,
yeah,
and
so
I
would keep it.
I have Ford, too, but I don't know what to do about it. It pays such a good dividend, I haven't released it, if you know what
I
mean.
Yeah, I would keep it until the price goes up.
Yeah, I bought it at 16. It's so low now.
Yeah, it's a Ford's a $25 stock.
Okay.
I mean, it's not. It should be at $25. It's so undervalued. People argue with me. My colleagues argue with me on that all the time. But it's a $25 stock. No matter how you slice it, it's a $25 stock. Could it go to 30, 40? Yeah, it could. But I would get it, you know, I'd hang on to it, get the dividend until it gets back over 16.
Okay, and then I'll sell it because it's not biblically responsible.
Right, yeah, then get rid of it, yep.
Then sell. That's my plan. Very good. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're such a blessing. Very well. We transferred everything to Schwab, and I'm self-directed now, which we weren't before, and it's really been a blessing.
That's
Thank
great.
You. Okay.
Well, thank you, Myra. I sure appreciate it. Thank you for your call.
Yes.
God bless.
You too.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, folks, I'm sorry I got to wrap it up here, but there's only a couple hundred people still on, so thank you. But we'll get this recording up. If you want to go back, unfortunately, you missed if you missed the commentary, we had a technical error. I forgot to push the button, so I apologize.